Welcome to the Swirl and Sip podcast, where we keep it real, talking about womanhood, parenthood, and marriage. I'm your host, Sasha.
And I'm Sheree. And if this is your first time tuning in to us, this is what you need to know about us. We're wives, we're boy moms, and we love wine, though we're not experts. This is Life Uncensored.
So get your wine glasses and your favorite bottle and get ready for today's episode. So, of course, we like to start each episode with what we are sipping on. And today we have decided to sip on a white, which y'all know I'm not excited about.
Look, we're giving it a chance. We're being equal.
We are giving it a chance. Although, you know, I think we decided that I don't like Pinots.
Yeah.
I think we thought I liked Pinots, and it's not. I think it's really Sauvignon Blancs. But we are sipping on Noble Vines Pinot Grigio. And according to the tasting notes, so this one says it has bright aromas of freshly squeezed citrus, green apple, pear, orange blossom. Sheree would like it because it's medium bodied. It
has You're not going to like it because of the citrus.
Oh, yeah. You don't like citrus. It has a round.
You don't like citrus.
I'm not going to like it because it's white. It has a crisp acidity. And then it has distinguished flavors of lemon curd, white peach, ripe cantaloupe, and a touch of minerality to on the palate.
I've never heard a description that said that it is citrusy, sour, citrusy, acidic, citrusy. Like I've never heard a description that was just like, I just want you to know it's like a lemon. Think of a lemon. Yeah, I knew it. I said it. I was like, think of a lemon.
It is very citrusy.
A lemon. I knew it. I said,
And you know, the only kind of like citrus I like is probably an orange.
I was going to say an orange. Yeah.
This definitely does have like the apple taste though. I can taste the apple. Like the green apple.
Yeah, I don't like green apple. I like stone fruit. If it's in a white wine, I like stone fruit. I figured that out. I guess we had about 100 bottles to figure that out. But the point is,
it's not bad. Mm-hmm. I think we've had worse white wines.
This one don't make me frown my face up.
It's not super sweet, but it's definitely fruity. It's definitely a fruity wine. But
it's definitely drinkable.
It's a summer wine. It says it's good with fresh salads, light pasta dishes, seafood, or chicken. So
my new lifestyle of pescatarian would go well with this. Perfect.
So it's 13.5 though, so we know that makes it Sasha and Sheree approved.
That's all I need.
For the alcohol content alone.
But I'll drink anything 13 and above.
We're super excited today because we do have a special guest. We have Casey, also known as K Alex on Instagram. I follow her.
Yes.
I just love her. And coincidentally, she knows Sheree.
Look.
Because they all went to A&T together.
Exactly. When we say Aggie Pride is nationwide, we aren't lying.
So Casey is a mom and a wife. She's actually a podcaster of the Babies and Bellinis podcast. They do amazing things. And she's an experience curator, and she seeks to provide out-of-the-box events and designs that cater to the millennial family. And her most notable events include things like Dads Can Do It Too and The Hunt, which was an Easter egg hunt like no other. By day, she's a speech-language pathologist that she serves birth to 3 years old, and she is the mom of three, which bless her heart, because I don't know how you do it. She's a wife to her college sweetheart, and she shares the filtered and unfiltered experiences of her family, like I mentioned on her Instagram page at KAlex. She says while her world revolves around her family, she knows the importance of self-care, and she lives by the quote, "My cup has to be full in order for me to pour into others," which is so very, very true.
A whole word is what it is.
It's so very, very true. So thank you so much, Casey, for being on the show.
Hello, ladies.
Hey, we are so excited.
Thank you for having me. Wow, I'm excited to be here.
So we wanted to bring you on the show because you talk a lot on your Instagram about your son, Xander. Yeah. And Xander has autism, right? Mm-hmm. So he's autistic, and we really wanted to do a show, especially with a black or brown mother raising a special needs child, because I personally don't see a lot of it. We don't hear a lot about, especially with things like autism or Down syndrome or things like that. You never see like a lot of children of color talking about those things and like how it affects their families or like, how we feel about it. Yeah, or in the community.
Just the community of when you are going through something, I always think of you look for your community and the community, people of color don't have that community as visible at all.
Right.
I have one friend who also has a son who's autistic, and I know, like, I remember her struggle. And so it's like, that's what I think of. It's like, it's so hard to find and support.
And it's so crazy because the incidence and prevalence is so much higher in our Black children, our Black boys specifically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is an isolating feeling. And I don't know of why persons may shy away from sharing. Maybe, you know, I don't know, just through social media or whatever the outlet may be, whether it be even just online or even a forum. But some people may shy away from that. I don't know if it's necessarily shame, denial. I know that myself, and even just in my occupation, coming in contact with a lot of families, that a lot of times it is denial, and they almost need to hear it a couple of times from a couple of different professionals to believe it, and sort of then, you know, I guess deal with it however they see fit. But the communities that I do find online are definitely heavily populated by those who aren't Black or brown, right? I'm not keeping cute.
You can say white people. We curse on here.
Okay, so you know, babies and Belize, baby. I mean, we go the fuck in.
I'm just saying.
So I didn't know.
HBCU bred, one egg to another. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I need to know. All right. Well, I don't, but thank you. That's what I needed. Thank you.
The point is, we tell it like it is. So I'm like, there's no other way to say it. No,
that
does
include cursing and being the white folks, but you know, just the white folks. But so with you being a speech pathologist and especially working with younger kids, was it like, were you more easily able to tell that, I guess, you know, I don't know how to phrase it, because I don't want to say there was like something wrong with him, because I don't think that's
girl,
the right word.
It was a concern
for sure. No, for sure. You know, there's no way to really, you don't have to be, you know, quote unquote, politically correct with me or sensitive, because it just is what it is to me. There may be other persons who feel like, you know, it should be phrased a different way and all that type of thing. But for me, I know who my son was and how he regressed, and for sure I knew the day, you know, I was like, really? Oh my god, you know, what, you know, I pulled my husband to the side because I just wanted to know that I didn't even want confirmation. I wanted him to say, you're tripping. In which, actually, I'm sorry, he did. I was like, you know, is something different about Xander? I said, what is, you know, he's not clapping, he's not looking at me in the eyes anymore, you know, he's not engaging with us. I was like, he's not babbling. I said, what is, you know, but I didn't want to throw that out there to my husband, because again, I had to sort of be sensitive to him, just because he is not privy to what autism looks like. Gotcha. So I do know my approach, you know, I know I have to be respectful in that, even with my own husband. And so, yeah, I mean, for sure, it was 18 months when I knew. I mean, there was no way around that.
And that's like, that's very interesting to me, because your son is only 3, right?
Yeah.
And from like everything that, you know, I've read about autism, it says you can't really tell that early.
Oh, yes. Like, yes, ma'am.
Well, because I read some stuff that was like, you know, around 15, 18 months, if they're not looking at you, if they're not smiling, you know, then, you know, that's when you need to go kind of, you know, dig a little deeper. But then also, most kids aren't getting diagnosed with autism until they're like 5, 6, 7, like they're much older.
Well, right. And so it used to be that a child couldn't be diagnosed until they were 3, but now they've definitely, I mean, 18, like I said, it can be definitely be a little bit after the first birthday. They don't do like before the first birthday. I mean, still babies, but 5-year-old, that's you're late in the game, you know. And I'm an early interventionist, so again, I worked with babies under 1, you know, to up until 3-year-olds, and so that is the most ideal time, the earlier the better on anything, you know. That's what I always tell parents, is anything, disorder, disease, I don't care, a cold, you always want to get ahead, right? You want to get ahead of something, like you don't wait until you are you know, not dying from a cold, but whatever. You bedridden. You know how the husbeds be bedridden on. Yeah, you know they bedridden.
Wrong.
Yeah, like why not get it as soon as I feel a scratchy throat? Don't you want to get ahead of it? Like attack
complete
it.
Side note: my husband he slept wrong like 2 months ago. Right, he said his neck has been hurting for the past 2 months because he slept wrong. And I've been telling him go to the doctor. Like clearly you might have picked
right.
something. Like just like
2 months.
Promise you, it's been at least a month and a half where he's been like, "Oh, my neck still hurts. Like I can't. Like I slept
wrong last
month.
I had a neck spasm and my neck used to lock up, and it was like I think I slept wrong. Within a week, I was like, you know what? No, this can't be. It should be gone. I had physical therapy. Tell that man
yes.
to go get some physical therapy.
They don't listen.
Men aren't. Yeah, they're not as.
But they're not. They're fine. Yeah, they're fine until they're dying.
Right.
Like, oh,
yeah. Again. You know, we want to be proactive.
But you make a very good point because you, like you said, you're an early interventionist, and that is so important, especially yeah. they say that with autism and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Like the earlier you catch anything to yeah. be able to put those things in place, the better the outcomes, the better the results. So
for sure.
It's,
for sure.
It's great that, I mean, I think that it's great that you had the background.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. Like that's the blessing. There's different blessings that I'm seeing, you know, but, you know, which of course I used to try to overlook. But what I will say again is a delay is different than like regression. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I said, my son was on target with all other milestones. Mm-hmm. I mean, believe it. If it's anybody, I'm definitely somebody who's like, okay, it's six. You're 6 months. Are you doing this? Ha ha! Like I was very.
Well, you had two other kids to judge.
Oh yeah.
By.
Yeah. Oh. So yeah. You know, I'm like, I know he's a boy, and then a lot of people would say,
they
"Oh, well, he's a boy. Give him time. Yeah. He's slower." Blah blah blah. But I said these things aren't even. This is a regression. Mm-hmm. This is regression, and these are non-typical things that I'm seeing, you know. So
you had the language to be able to say, no, I know what I'm saying. Like
yeah.
you might be saying something different, but I'm like, no, I know what I'm saying. It's not that.
Yeah. And this is from pediatricians and beyond. I mean
When you got that diagnosis though, were you in denial about it at all? Because I can't imagine. I mean,
oh my God.
Like the media has played up so much that, you know, autism is like the worst thing your child can have, which I think
is
bullshit.
Which is
like,
bullshit.
Like,
as well as,
like,
you know,
there's autistic kids.
It stokes the fires of the anti-vax community
yeah, like,
and everything.
And there's autistic kids can do amazing things. Like they're
yeah.
just, they
there's
just
a spectrum.
Are a little bit different than us.
From a psychology standpoint, they've already changed
yeah.
the DSM because they need to
yeah.
say it's a spectrum. And the spectrum disorder does not mean that you can have high functioning where you hardly notice. It's like there's just certain things to
right.
like full-fledged, like needing assistance.
Right.
There's a spectrum. And
for
I think
sure.
people forget that like autism is a spectrum.
Right. And
like
so
everything else.
Right. You know, and so I will say I did have to even fight for the diagnosis. It was mm-hmm. like I said, and this pediatrician we had loved, she was our daughter's pediatrician, you know, for both of the girls. And we loved her for them. But again, they're typically developing girls. But when it came time for Xander, I said, why am I telling you, you know, the things that need to happen? Why am I fighting and pushing for an assessment? And guess what? And she was like, well, you know, she kept saying, well, he's so young. He's a boy. Give him time. And I'm like, girl, look at the checklist that they would
yeah,
give
that
us.
They want.
I'm like,
they
look
give,
at this.
Is he doing this? Is he doing
he's
that?
Not doing
no,
it.
No,
he's
no.
not doing it. He's not doing it. And then
I
told her.
Hold on. When you said it, I said, I remember that checklist.
Okay. That checklist. Yes. You get nervous when you're filling that thing
you
out. Like, you're like, oh, my God, my baby.
You sit there. You're like, look, it's startled by loud noises. You be like, I mean,
kind of.
Like, what do you mean? Like, startled in, like, all
right.
noises? Like, you had to.
Right.
Like, that. I filled that out, and I turned to Brandon, and I was just like, wait. So, like, what does that mean? I don't know
right.
what it means. So, I'm like, yeah.
And sometimes you'll even try to, oh, okay. I mean, yeah, I've seen it happen before, but there's things where, and I know, again, I'm like, With me, when I go into a doctor's office or whatever, I'm zero filtered. I'm gonna tell you everything because I need to know how to appropriately deal, you know, or treat, you know, my child. And so I told her, I was like, pull out the first checklist versus this one and let's compare it. And I told her, I was like, there's regression here. I was like, I'm not, please believe, I don't want to see this in my son. You think I'm making this up? So she was, I was so pissed that it even took all that. I knew that there would be a wait list. A lot of times there's a wait list to get the testing, which can go up to months. And again, you don't have this time. I mean, the window's closing in development and the gap is widening. And I'm like, girl, I need my son to get on this wait list. And it was a 4-month wait list. And the city of D.C., it's a 6 months to a year.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't got time for this. Get my child on this wait list. And so, you know, anyway, she was like, sure, that's fine. We ended up getting him on the wait list. And again, once we went through the testing, he got the formal diagnosis. I already knew it. At that point, my husband had come around to the idea that this was autism. There's no way you could overlook it. Yeah, no, my son. And so, like you said, with the spectrum, my son was on the lower end for sure. Mm-hmm. Easy. He was no Asperger-y, high functioning kiddo. Mm-mm. Stimming and in his own world. Again, not talking. Not even interested in other people. And so we got the diagnosis, the formal diagnosis, and it hit me a little bit. I was because my husband was keeping it together, and I think he was trying to overcompensate. He was like, yay, we know what it is. And I'm like, yay.
Like, you was like, no, it's okay to be, it's okay to feel something.
To feel something, right? And I think because he sort of held it together for me, I guess I was fine. I didn't cry. You know, it was no, like, you know, the psychologist was amazing, you know, really fun and huge personality. I think that sort of made things not as gloom and doom as it could have been. But it was also my sister's wedding weekend. And I said, okay, Casey, like, you have to pull it together and at least hold it together for this weekend, right? Like, I was just like, look, just pull it together. It's your sister's wedding. Our mom has passed away, you know? And so I felt like I had to, you know, be mother of the bride that weekend, you know? I'm like, that's it. It's your baby sister. Pull it together. Don't even tell her about this. Focus. And so, by the grace of God, I was able to get through the weekend and fully enjoy my sister and her wedding. But then, of course, when I came home and things just sort of hit me a little bit, you know, it sort of hit me. And I don't know, like, I had times and I still have times where I'll get emotional about it and sort of cry. And, you know,
I can only imagine, like, what I think is that there are some good days. There are some, you know,
right.
Bad, just like days. Any parent.
Like any parent, like there's some days where you're like, all right, level. You're good. But yeah, like, it's like, I can only imagine. That's what I'm like. It's like, okay, it's cool. But then there's some days where it's just like, I get frustrated. Like, where
right.
I can't.
Well, cause I see, like, you post on Instagram, like, you know, if you don't do his supplements, or if you know, if he has a little bit of gluten. And, like, his shit is just fucked up, you know, like, like, start all over. And I can't imagine, like, you know, Sheree and I have 3-year-olds too. Both of our sons are 3. And so we deal with my son today cried 15 minutes because he has 2 toy eggs, and one egg wouldn't fit inside the other egg because they're the same damn size.
Whole breakdown.
And I had to sit there and console him.
And you're sitting there trying to, no, and you made me think of it. Like I'm sitting there because right now me and her husband are going through, like, speech evaluations and everything, because our son does all, he talks sometimes, like, I mean, he talks.
He don't talk to me.
Like, a lot. He don't like, he don't like.
He don't like you.
He don't like Sasha. I think that he knows, like, he be like, I'm going to have to warm up to you. Eventually, he will talk your fucking ear off. But for me, he will talk to us. He'll talk to, like, a lot of people, but it's just not clear. He doesn't enunciate. So I'm like, we're doing a speech evaluation. We went last week, and now we're doing another one just to finish whatever. And she's like, nah. I was like, God damn. Like, in my head, I want there to be, like, some answer to help. Because for me, I'm sitting there like, No. I understand that, like, okay, fine. Nothing is wrong. Like, I went through that myself with, like, the doctor, where it's like, the more I was in pain, the more I was going through stuff. It's like, oh, you're perfectly healthy. I'm like, no.
Oh, God,
you need to tell me that there's something. Like, so I think of it like that. It's like, So I'm looking at him and I'm like, okay, fine. So the threshold is 85. He's at an 84. I'm like, y'all got to tell me something more. What do
give
I
me something.
And, like, y'all got to tell me something. So I'm like, I can only imagine, like, there's a certain level of relief with knowing I knew what I was talking about, but also, like, sheesh.
Because well, now you can kind of like, figure out how to do. Handle it.
Exactly. Right.
And so, like, because you've gone through it, what do you say to other parents, like, if they think, like, in Sharae's case, like, her son isn't speaking clear.
Like, what do you,
if you think your son or your child is having delays.
He would sing a whole song to himself, and I'm just like, sweetie, I don't know what the hell you singing. Okay. Like, I was like, I don't know how to make you enunciate. And I know that he did at one point, and he just decided that, nah. And I was like, what? Nah. Like, I don't know.
I don't know that he would necessarily, and I don't know that he would necessarily, y'all are in PG County?
PG.
Yeah, and I don't know that you all would qualify for the program just for articulation, because usually that they'll address that at the school age level.
Which because is annoying, he is because young. He does well in school. I said, I don't know whether my child is stubborn. And that's what I think of.
Yeah.
When I think of, like, when we have children, that's one of the things. Like, not only are you talking about fighting for, like, you touched on so many different pieces. The fighting for a diagnosis is a very big issue. And we've, like, I don't know if we are going to talk about that this season, but, like, the idea of Black women as in general are not listened to in maternal health care.
And people
of color are not listened to.
Because,
like, when you know, like, you as a professional, like, nah, I know
this
is what's happening. And you still had to fight to get what you needed.
So how would you tell other parents
how do you advocate
they think that their child is having a delay in something, and you know, because I think as parents we know, like, we
and
know if
you know
and we look at the professionals, like a lot of people, I remember we look at the professionals to know what I mean. You take their word because you're like, they know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you don't know, you look at them and say, oh, they must know. And if they don't say anything,
right. Like, but no. So what I will say to that too, they don't know your child like you do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, let's be honest. How many kids do they see a day?
Mm-hmm.
They know your child for well and sick visits twice a year, mm-hmm. you know? And so, when a parent comes in there with a concern, you know, it's like, seriously, like, you think I want to put this on my child? Are you kidding me, girl? Right, you know, and so even with, like you said, maternal, and like you said, and I went through that as well with maternal health care. Like, I felt like I wasn't being listened to. And even with my now practitioner that I'm with, I'm about to find another one and fire her because I'm not happy with my care. Like, I'm not making this stuff up. Like, I'm not a hypochondriac. Like, girl, what is going on? Can I get the testing? I don't know.
I'm currently going through that right now because they won't do my stuff. And yet I'm like, all right, so cool. That's fine. You need me to have more children because I want more children.
Yeah.
I'm in pain daily. I don't want to be. What is the something has to get?
Yeah,
so
I'm gonna send you some information too about
because
it's. And so, but yes, I think I definitely had to pull my speech pathologist hat out and again tell her some stuff that she should have known as a pediatrician. I'm like, girl, I'm telling you shit. I'm a speech pathologist. I don't know. I mean, like, I know, but I know, but like. What the hell? So anyway, I had to pull the lingo out. I had to pull out the fucking jargon.
You had to let them know, like, you know what? You had to let them know.
Yeah.
You kinda are like, hey, come at me differently.
Yeah, sis. It's like, you're not about to play me. And my son going to get this. My son going to get his help. He going to get what he needs. And so what I will tell parents is not to be afraid. Not to hold off. You know, again, I held off out of respect of my husband. I'm totally honest because, again, with me, and there were a lot of arguments, you know, he I think it was emotional for him.
I can't imagine. I had to tell, like, especially, I mean, that's
his only boy.
His only son.
Yeah, it's his
son. Now it's like something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has, like, just like any parent, you know, we have these visions of what our relationship will be with our kids.
For sure.
And, you know, he has two daughters and now he has a son and he probably, oh, I get to do all this stuff with my son. And now it's different.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is, like, what changes versus, like, how much? Because you can still do things, but it's like now it's not
might be a little
same.
Different.
It might be different and it may be longer. It may take longer, you know? And so I definitely would tell parents to not be afraid. You know, I think, like you said, it can come off as this daunting thing. But like we said, there's a spectrum. There's, now that I've dove so far into research, like, I know that there's so much hope, even for my son, who was, again, on the total end of the spectrum.
Well, that's what I was gonna say, because you said he was, you know, towards the lower end, but now, and you know, I don't know him, but now when I see him on Instagram, like, I feel that he, you know, he's dancing and you
he's
know,
getting
like,
there
the speed. Wow. And so
he's,
like,
he's getting there.
Do you attribute that just because you found out so early and have been able to, you know, change a lot of things about his diet and all of that stuff?
For sure. So early intervention. So and let me just, I guess, close out on. So definitely don't be afraid. Definitely push for testing with your pediatrician. If your pediatrician doesn't necessarily give you the referral, go ahead and pay out of pocket and go to a psychologist who can diagnose for autism, or developmental psychologist. Mm-hmm. Out of pocket. Get that private evaluation, because what the diagnosis, because a couple people are like, well, I don't want my child to be labeled. And we got to get away from that shit. I'm going to be honest. It's our fucking culture with that shit.
That's what it is.
I don't want no label.
Yeah.
Fuck all that.
I'm a social
problem. Like,
that's what I deal with as a social worker.
Yeah, that's me.
When I deal with kids, that I'm like, hey, I'm getting ready to work with your student. They're like, I mean, where is this getting ready to go? I'm like, fucking nowhere. It's mental health. It's
mental. Come on, y'all. We got to stop that. We really do. It's really about the resources.
Like, it's fine. Like, we're here. That's why I'm here. Like, I'm talking to you because they need this,
and very good.
So, like, I have to work the same way to be like, I don't want them labeled. I'm like, luckily, my saving grace is that, like, child records are sealed. Like, so I can push that and be like, they'll be fine. It's not going to follow them. It's not like, I've had people give misinformation. And that's the other thing that I was getting ready to say. Like, there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that's like, oh, if your child is labeled this, then they'll be X, Y, Z. Or, oh, they won't. Like, I've had someone tell me that if you label, that if your child gets this diagnosis, and that be, whether it be autism or even mental illness,
specific learning disability,
or else that they won't be able to get a job later. And I said, how do you, what?
Like, absolutely not.
But it's the opposite. Like, in your case, like, you need him to be labeled in order.
And so it unlocks for him. That's what I was gonna say. A lot more Oh my god! And that's the thing. That's why I was like, look, I ain't got, like, I need this diagnosis for my son so that he can get into ABA therapy. And so it just, again, a lot of other resources. I'm like, once you get that diagnosis, that just unlocks a ton of resources.
People kind of think that, like, because you think of in school, it's the IEP, the 504, and all that. And you're like, no, I need these resources. But if you don't, if you're too scared to even, like, ignore, because what are you ignoring at that same time? And I think that that's the thing that we have to ask as parents. It's like, you know your child. Like you said, even with the best pediatrician, they don't know your child, but 15, 20 minutes of an evaluation, you're the one who's given the information of like, no, I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
So I remember, like, and I don't know, Sasha, if you've had this, like, I had to do this when Brendan had to be hospitalized last year, 2 years ago, whatever. He was dehydrated. Mm. The doctor knew he was dehydrated, but basically the ER was like, they wouldn't do it. They were like, he just needs to drink. I said, if it was that easy, sweetie, I wouldn't be here. I know how to fucking.
Oh, they wouldn't give him an IV?
They would not admit him so he can get an IV. My doctor, luckily, my doctor, and this is what sold me on my doctor, she was like, why would they, you know what, next time, she said, go back. I went to the ER 3 times in the weekend.
Whoa.
It was like Friday, it was a Thursday, he was like, he had a stomach virus. The next day, they were like, she's like, you know, we went to his doctor, and they were like, why did they even send him out like this? Don't know. She said, you're going to have to push. And I said, okay. I tried to push the next time. They gave him a little bit of something. He drank like an ounce, still went back to my doctor, and they said, I'm going to talk to, they told me, go to the ER, and when you get there, call me, and I will tell them what they need to do. The only reason
that's beautiful.
But that was my introduction to, I need to advocate more for my child. And I said,
yeah, but
I didn't know.
We say that and we know because we're like, we're mama bears and all that. But it is intimidating as hell to have to stand up to a fucking physician.
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to fight you?
Like, they have the degree. Like, they know about this stuff.
So you obviously are like, I can't be that person.
I can't be that. I don't know what you know. Like, you can talk me down out of jumping off the ledge. Like, you know it all, right?
Yes.
Quote, unquote.
Yes.
We would think that shit is like, I mean, why do I have to stand up to a physician?
Oh, we're not, like, I remember them saying. Oh,
they'll just look at you and be like, look, I know that you Googled a couple of things.
Right, stay off of Google. Oh, no, Google got some good shit on there.
I had the nurse who was like, look, we're going to admit him for no reason because X, Y, and Z. And she was very, like, not dismissive, but kind of condescending.
Yeah.
You just need to get him to drink this. And I said, I almost, you know how you're sitting there like, I wouldn't be in the
if it was that easy.
$50 to $100 per fucking visit.
Okay.
If I could get him to drink water.
Yeah.
I was no, like,
I mean, I don't.
I was like, it's like that kind of stuff where yeah. like we are intimidated as parents.
Yeah.
In our heads, we think, oh yeah, when our child, I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. And then like, and I think that's what it comes down to when we're sitting there and we're saying, as parents, you think of how you're going to be the mama bear, the tiger mom, or whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when some shit really goes down, how do you get yourself to the place? And that's what I want to ask you. How do you get yourself to the place where you said, I have to get this done?
Yeah, so you have to definitely equip yourself with the knowledge, like I said, and it just so happened to work out for me because I already knew I'm in the profession. And so once we did get the diagnosis formally, it was almost like, all right, autism, here's your packet and you're out the door. And I said, I looked through that fucking packet.
You're welcome, packet.
Welcome to autism world. And I'm like, y'all, it didn't say shit in there that was beneficial. I swear to God, it was nothing that I couldn't. Wow. Google. I was just like, this is some bullshit. And
it,
so
you would think it would be like, okay, well, here's, you know, your diagnosis,
some resources,
next steps. This is what you do now.
There's no next steps, no treatment plan, none of that, y'all. And so
I would have been pissed.
Pissed. So my pediatrician didn't even know about early intervention resources in the county. You work in this county and don't know about early intervention resources?
Wow.
How the fuck is this? What are you doing? And so that pissed me off.
So
she didn't know about ABA.
Nutrition?
Oh, hell yeah. We fired her. Then we fired another one. We went to another one, fired them. So right now we don't have any pediatricians right now. And so,
don't worry. I was on the brink of firing mine because
fire.
Here's the thing. I'm not firing my pediatrician. I'm firing the person they keep sending us to. So you know how you have like the office
and the practice, yeah.
You're like, I'm like, I asked, I said, does this doctor still work there? And they're like, yeah. I said, oh, because I'm like, the half birthdays, fine, whatever. Can you see her?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, she's just, no, I want to see her.
Yeah,
I don't like
on
the
her
other person.
Load.
Like, I don't like the other person because
the rapport has to be there.
I've had the same pediatrician for him since he was born and it made sense. But that's the other thing. If you are like in a practice where you see multiple people, you just don't know to be like it's intimidating to even ask for a different doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's intimidating to even say, I don't want to see this person.
Yeah.
I want to be scheduled with this one. And to push back.
Yeah.
Because I think in the medical field, at least, you don't want to get labeled as difficult. And I think that comes from in my social work
that
understanding,
is,
right?
Y'all haven't seen, I'm sure y'all haven't watched this because this is where my daddy's white side comes in. My daddy wasn't white, but he's Puerto Rican. He loved white shows. There was an episode of Seinfeld where Elaine got, she was like, went to the doctors and she was trying to do something. She kept asking a lot of questions. And so they put in her chart that she was difficult.
Yeah.
And every doctor she went to, like, she would go and find another doctor and he would be like, oh, let me read your chart. He'd open it up and be like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you. And she's like, no, what does my chart say? It doesn't say.
See?
She was like trying to get it erased.
And that's the thing. So like, as a social worker, I know I can joke about it because we don't really label anyone as difficult. I mean, okay, I'm sure there's someone who does, but when I was working with adults, I never was like, I was like, you know, whatever you are, you come in as you come in. I am also a unique person who can handle that kind of shit. But I think of like, I don't want to be labeled as that parent who's like, oh, here comes Miss X, Y, and
but
Z.
You know
I
what?
Do have some parents.
Well, you yeah. have to be like that.
I do have some parents at school
kids,
who they
though.
Come yeah. in and like you think of like I have parents at school because I work in high school and it's like, oh God, Miss who?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. I mean, me too. Okay. And so, and I know that on both ends. And so I'm cognizant of that. Because at the end of the day, you're a part of the team, right? Like everybody mm-hmm. should be. This is a team. Like all my son's. All my son's professionals and therapists. We're working together for the same goal for Xander. So I don't want to be, you know, beefing with a teammate. Like that's not how this is supposed to go. You know, you
I
keep
really
it cute.
Like how you said that, because like
that's
we're
what you
on
are.
The same
it's supposed
team.
To. They're all supposed
listen,
to be.
Listen,
like you're helping. Your goal is to help this
the
kid
child
with whatever. The problem, diagnosis, whatever
for
it
sure.
is, the goal is to help with that.
And
so.
He's made these strides because you've done this.
Thank you. So
can you talk just a little bit about like all of the stuff that you now do?
So
I feel like that's dedication, which, you know, as a mother, I commend you because I know, you know, I mean, I think about my son, even just cooking him dinner is like tiring sometimes. And so I know I see on Sundays you get supplements together and
it's
like you guys have changed
like you think
their
about
diets
like,
and
like Sasha supposedly has like the easiest child there is for her. I promise you, she just looks off at Brendan and she's just like, I don't know how you do it. I said, he's my child and he's fine for me.
But for you, right.
She's like, I don't understand. I said, I'm fine. But like, it's another layer where we're getting into outside just overall personality and behavior to a
for sure.
diagnosis. So
for sure. So it's totally different. Again, I know what a neurotypical child looks like, you know, with my girls, and so I know what a terrible twos looks like and a three-nager. But with you, when you add that diagnosis of autism on top of there or whatever it is, it's a whole nother level. You know, I'm ultimately right now a special needs mom. You know, mm-hmm. and so. Like I said, I was given the autism packet, the welcome packet.
That did nothing.
That did
so
shit.
So you made your own.
I made my own. There we go. I built my own treatment plan, if you will.
People of color, we do that. Black,
okay.
Latino, we do that. We're like,
we goes for it. Okay. So I dove into research and man, y'all, God just aligned me up with some amazing moms making strides with their babies and not just solely relying on the traditional route of treatment for autism. So, and I swear this has been eye-opening.
What is the traditional route of
traditional is just
is it just like this is they just have it and that's
yeah, so it's like, oh, you got the autism diagnosis. This is beautiful. You're neurodivergent and you're going to get, you know, speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, you know, maybe ABA. Some people don't agree in the ABA approach.
I know you say that before.
Yep. So it's applied behavioral analysis. It's a behavioral therapy type of program.
Gotcha.
You have to have an autism diagnosis. And so,
you get like the standard things. Sensory, like, is it? Because I think she was on, she did Babies and Bellinis with me, the episode that I was on. Lacey, her son, has developmental delay.
Yes.
I'm not sure what he has, but I know, mm-hmm. I know he's nonverbal and sensory wise, like he gets like overwhelmed and stuff like that. Does Xander have that type of stuff or is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so that's where. So what I will say is this summer we went to Martha's Vineyard and we're a traveling family. We like to travel. Thank you. Yeah, it's beautiful. But
it might need to be a trip.
Look, y'all will really love
she
it.
Just
y'all
came
would.
Back from Martha's Vineyard.
I was talking about myself. Sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That was a side.
I can't with y'all. Side note. No, and so we went there. We travel every year as a family. We do a family trip internationally. But this year, of course, there ain't no international. So we went right to Martha's Vineyard as a family trip. And while it was enjoyable, I noticed some things in Xander that was far off, even from his personality. What I will say about Xander, he's pretty mild-mannered, if you will. And so it was really because of what we were feeding him while we were on vacation. I mean, there was no meal prep. You know, there damn sure wasn't supplements and none of that. And we were just eating fast food and whatever, takeout. And I said, you know what?
What do you mean?
She got all the whole thing.
Vitamins?
You need to go to her Instagram and look at her whole
I was like, I'm on your Instagram and I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah. And so
you like grind them up and stuff, right?
Look, so when I came back from Martha's Vineyard, I told my husband, I said, that's it. I was like, this won't be our life. Like, this is it. I can't do this. And this is not okay. Like, Xander can't even fully enjoy himself. Like, this is not my son. My hope and prayer for my son is to walk in his full purpose, you know, whatever that is that God has for him, you know, and I want him to live a full life. You know, again, whatever that looks like for him. But that right there, that shit was unsettling, you know. And so, and again, I knew who my baby was. So from there, we reached out to a functional medicine, or if you will, holistic doctor. And we see him, and he's under Xander's under his care. And we did a series of testing, very, very expensive, actually, testing. And listen, but I want to do it for myself. I'm going to be honest. It really uncovered a lot of different things that Xander, deficiencies that Xander has. Mm-hmm. And so, because he has those deficiencies, he needs to take the supplements mm-hmm. and vitamins. A lot of things, you know, you can definitely probably find in food, because food is health. But Xander has sensory, you know,
you really mean vitamins.
Because I went through some of the things are
expensive that you buy for him.
Listen, I keep saying I'm a starter OnlyFans. I need to stop saying that, but
girl, I don't think that OnlyFans automatically means something sexual. I'm just saying, if you really like to cook, and I need to
cooking some heels.
I'm cooking some booty shorts. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that I'll be naked, but I got a lot of booty.
I might show my feet.
Don't get it twisted.
People really like feet and honey and some shit. Look, that's a second. That's another conversation.
I'm just saying. So, you know, but yeah, so it's an expense. But when I say, I mean, both myself and my husband are total believers. We cleaned his diet. He's gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free. I say A, B, C, D, E, F, G free, because it's everything. Like, it's literally like whole foods clean. When I say clean eating. Yeah, absolutely.
Clean, damn near raw.
Damn near, yeah. I mean,
like,
shit,
if you don't find it in the earth, can't trace it.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
How do your daughters like deal with him having autism? Like, is it hard for them? Or because, you know, especially with things like the diet and stuff like that, like, yeah, some of that is a family thing, and now, like, they can be affected by that.
Oh yeah. So my daughter, 10 years old, autism diagnosis, Zuri still doesn't really understand, but she does get excited when Xander does something, and she makes a point to tell us, oh, mommy, daddy, Xander just said this, Xander just did this. So, you know, she picks up on the fact that we're all looking for him to improve in certain areas and stuff like that. So that's with Zuri. But
Zoe, really sweet.
And Zoe knows, I guess, to an extent what autism is. We've talked about it. We've cried about it, you know, and beyond. But I think because of social media and sort of normalizing, you know, what autism is, she knows a little bit about what autism entails. And she respects a little bit more that Xander cannot eat certain things. And so now they know, like, fast food doesn't even come up in this house. Like, they don't even cross the threshold of these fucking doors. And so, because it's it used to be tempting for him. So one day I found a chicken nugget that was bit on the floor from Chick-fil-A. And it was sitting on the floor. I was like, who the hell threw a chicken nugget on the floor? You know? But they were like, Xander. And I was like, damn, he didn't finish it. So he literally bit it. He didn't even bite the chunk out of it. It was just like a bite mark in it.
Like a bite mark.
And threw it to the ground. And I was like, oh, this is great.
Like,
so he doesn't even like the taste of it anymore.
Yeah.
His tongue has been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Okay. He don't even have the desire. Okay. And so, but seriously, it's really like an addiction. I mean, I can't go super too deep right now, but
I mean, you know, but you, but it is a, like, you have to make an active decision. Dig.
Yeah.
It's not something that you go into lightly. You have,
for sure.
You have fully committed to the lifestyle that is better for
everyone,
your whole
probably.
Family.
Honestly, it's probably better for everybody.
Right. And so what I will say is, again, so the 10-year-old, she said, "Mommy, I want to be a normal kid," when it came down to a diet. And that sort of got to me a bit. Yeah. Cause I'm like, damn, cause I'm an extremist. I go 0 to 100 and I did rip out everything out of this house that was like toxic food and beyond. Okay. And so I sort of felt that. I said, you know what, I'm not going to go too extreme with the girls. And so, but now I find them sitting there digging in Xander shit. And I said, now hold up, this shit is expensive. Now, if we going to go there, let's go there. I don't need to do 2 grocery trips to the regular grocery store and the organic shit. If we're going to do this, let's do it. So I mean, we're inching there, but we do definitely hide snacks from Xander. I get the girls snacks and I put them like in this box that is disguised and shit. So that's where we are,
like,
but
it'd be like, this is your snacks.
Yeah, this
I just want you to know these are where your snacks are. If you do choose,
right,
these are his snacks. Now, if you want some of his snacks, let me know, because I buy his snacks specifically for him.
Okay, like, this is like, don't play with that. And then Xander can't eat but so many things. So now, like, I actually posted on my Instagram last weekend, they had given him a pretzel that has gluten in it. Now he has his own gluten-free
pretzels.
I eat them. I love it. It's the same thing. I can't tell the difference. And so, but I told them, now Zoe was like, well, why is Xander breaking out all over his face and chest? I said, because you all gave him gluten. I said, that is a direct reaction. So I think it sort of hit them just to visually see that, oh wow, my brother cannot process gluten.
You made me think of another thing, which is, like, during this pandemic, how has that been? And not only for just Xander, but for Xander as well as your other 2 daughters, like what has that been like when we're talking about all the stress? And we've talked extensively, about being in a pandemic. I mean, the fact that we were in person at one point, now we're on Zoom and stuff like that. Like, how has that been, and how has the adjustment been?
You're working, the 2 girls, I'm sure, are going to school.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, the idea of school versus, like, the routine, because I do believe that routine plays a part in the success of, like, a lot of stuff, especially with special needs.
For sure.
How has that been?
Yeah, I mean, so I work full time. I have two jobs. And so, yeah, on top of my blogging and creative and, you know, Babies and Bellinis. And so the girls are in school. Zoe's doing very well. She's a damn scholar student. Thank God. Look, thank God.
Amen.
I wasn't, but thank God. And so I don't have to worry too much about her. She got straight A's. Zuri, this was kindergarten and she's in a Spanish immersion school. So I was it's not ideal for her, you know, it's a little difficult. And so I do find that, you know, while I'm working here, her desk is in back of me, and I do have to, if I hear her name being called, I'm telling the parents that I'm dealing with, I'm sorry, hold on, and then attending to her. But then we did make a difficult decision, or well thought out decision, to be honest, to send Xander to his ABA program. So like I shared with you all, he goes to the ABA program. It's 15 minutes away, but it's Monday through Friday, 9 to 4. It's almost like daycare, if you will. I mean, time wise, but he's getting full treatment all day, because like you said, I mean, we saw the regression even in some of the skills that he gained back. And I was like, you know what, absolutely not, no, you know. So I said, no, we were gonna send him back, and they're taking all the precautions. I'm gonna be honest, I mean, he has his one-on-one therapist. You know, they wear the mask, they come and get the children from the door, you know, you're not even allowed in. And then they have their own treatment rooms. He's definitely making strides, y'all. I mean, seriously, like I said, the commitment is always confirmed for me, especially on like a low day, where sometimes I'm like, it don't really matter, whatever, fuck it. Girl, like, no, then Xander will do something where, you know,
you'll be like, oh
skill.
My God, yeah, my like, baby.
Yeah. And so even my husband, at first, he didn't really believe in the diet change or supplements and vitamins. But I mean, we will look at, I remember the first week we really dove into a new supplement that we added, and we just look at each other out of amazement, like, oh shit, like this really works. I mean, he gets B12 shots in his butt every 3 days. Yeah, so we have to like
every three days.
How does he deal with that? So now he's used to it. Okay. He doesn't voluntarily like bend over or nothing. He still he'll try to make like, a run for it. You know, he already, yeah, you know, but it's a super
who hates needles. Like,
oh, really?
What?
It's super, super.
My husband's cousin loves, she will ask her doctor all the time for a B12 shot because it makes you lose weight. Like when you're,
it does.
Oh, well, yeah, energy.
Weight.
It does.
Yeah, well, it gives you that.
Let me tell you how I.
Some of the doctors, there's different types.
Over, like blood draw, like I will take a shot.
If I can get a B12 shot out of a doctor, I'm gonna
like, I'm just saying, I got at least 50 that I'm trying to jump.
Stop
it. Hold on now.
I think there's different types, just like there's different types of, I don't know, different strains of different,
there's a lot of different everything, but right. Like, so he knows, like it's almost like it became part of the routine, but at the same time, he's like, all right, so B12 shots three times, I mean, like,
every three days. And it's in the morning. We'll just like, while he's laying down, just go for it. And because like, again, it's a super, super small, super skinny. Look, she's like, I can't. But I swear, listen.
Real quick. It's okay.
Ooh. Okay. I won't talk about it. But no, it literally.
Nothing happened. That's okay. You're fine.
But no. So like I said, we do it when he's in his sleep now. So now, I mean, he doesn't even notice it. I think it's just the fact that he knows something's coming. He's anticipating it when he's awake, but B12 it helps with the cell formation and brain function for kids with especially for him. Xander has I can't really go too deep, but with autism a lot of times they have different comorbidities, and Xander has cerebral folate deficiency, and so B12 helps with cerebral folate deficiency for lack of, just to sum it up, but that's one of many things. And so again, when we may skip a day, so I didn't do supplement Sunday this week because I was in New York City New Jersey for my sister's housewarming, and I got behind, and I just did it today, and it's like we started to notice like sort of a decline, and so again, my husband and I are like, you know what, it's worth the investment, it's worth the time, it's worth the blah 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 on top.
You have to make a commitment.
Yeah.
As a parent, we make a commitment to our children. Like, we know we have to do certain things. Like, we know our children.
It's probably almost, like, I don't want to say easier, but because you can see the effects when you don't do it, or like you don't stick to the plan, which helps, I'm sure, like reinforce, like we have to do this.
Like it makes it easier to be like,
because he can't do it himself, and so it's like, you know, we see all of this growth when we are doing these things, and if we don't want to hinder our child, so we have to make sure that we're keeping up with that.
It's almost it's almost like, as tiring as this may be, this is our routine and this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like when the doctor tells you like, hey, do you want this to happen? And you're like, no, okay, this is what you need to do.
Right.
All
right.
That's like the people who smoke. It's like, oh, you know, if you keep doing this, you're going to die. Like,
okay.
Do you want lung cancer? I don't.
Right. What all you right. want? What you
well,
want?
Well, you know what?
And it just think, really... I mean, I'm, you know, so it's just like, you know, there's a toolbox that I will say, you know, and share that, you know, there's many things in the toolbox for your child when on this roadmap of treatment of, dare I say, recovery, for
I love
your
it.
Child.
No, I love recovery.
Yeah. So I don't anticipate this for my child. I know that my child will not, you know, live in this, not have the skills that he needs to have to live again the full life that I am claiming for him. And so, you know, while it is daunting sometimes, while it's like I have nothing left in me for the rest of the day, like I'm tired, I don't feel like doing this shit, it takes me like 45 minutes to do the supplements and measure it out and shit like that, it's so worth it, you know. And so I want parents to know that there's so much hope. Like, I mean, I was like in tears. I used to be in tears just beyond, the diagnosis, just to know that, you know, my son will be more than okay, you know, and so that there's so much hope. And I'm definitely an open book. I share a lot, like I said, on my Instagram. And I mean, anyone who slides in my DMs, listen, like I'll share whatever resources I do have if they're open to it. But, you know, there's hope.
That's really why we wanted to have you on, because like I said, I think, like, especially just in our communities, you don't see the conversations happen around kids who are special needs or who have things like autism and, you know, who have these developmental delays, because we don't want to label them or we don't want to be stigmatized.
It's like we're scared
or,
of like what that means.
Yeah,
or like,
you know, we worry about our kids.
There comes such and such. It's like we have a lot of toxic shit that happens.
I think it needs to be talked about more because... Yeah. Just because a child is labeled with something like autism doesn't mean that they can't have a happy,
it doesn't mean your life is over
future.
They
can still live an amazing life. I mean, it of course will be different, but that doesn't mean that it won't be good or won't be happy or, you know, they won't be fulfilled in their life.
Exactly.
It's just it isn't what we would think, but it can still be amazing. And I think that we need to talk about things like that more. Like,
and it doesn't mean
that
you did anything wrong.
Yeah,
I think that another thing is that we get ashamed of, like, why me or what happened or what.
Well, you're like, I mean, I'm sure as mothers, like, well, what did I do when I was pregnant?
Yeah,
could have caused this.
We have mom guilt so hard. Like, everything comes back to what could I have done differently? And even though you know in the, like, far, far back of your head that you're like, no, I mean, this is just a thing.
Yeah, there's definitely a genetic disposition, if you will. But I will say, and I don't blame myself for this because I just didn't know, again, right? Like, I feel like I trusted my physicians and just the function, I mean, traditional medicine. And so what I will say is, if I were, and I mean, I'm not, but if I wanted to have another child, or if I were to do it over, whatever, not do it over again, like whatever, but if I were to get pregnant again or want to get pregnant again, I would definitely detox my body and deal with some of the things that I'm dealing with my, because now I'm seeing, again, with just providing all the research, I would detox my body for sure and take the necessary vitamins and supplements. Yeah, for sure. I mean, easy. I can literally break down my whole pregnancy with Xander and see where there were some mishaps, you know, if you will, and that I wouldn't, for sure. I'd be like, damn, wow. And even just his first year of life, I would have stuck to my gut on some things that I allowed and was sort of hesitant about. But again, like you said, like we were talking about at the beginning, didn't really know how to approach a medical professional about
It's really intimidating. And I think that, like, and that's the validating thing that we need to know. Like, no, it's like, there's no judgment in not speaking up.
Right. And it shouldn't be. Right.
Like, it's no judgment in not speaking up. And it's no fear, like, no reason when you do speak up to be like, it's okay that you did, because that shit's hard. Yeah. Even when you know something is wrong, when you're like sitting there like, no, I know.
Like, if you want to label me as the difficult parent or as the bad parent or like,
whatever that is,
that's cool, because I'm going to, like, if there's something wrong with my child, I'm going to be that parent.
Okay. They already know.
A lot of people say it and they're like, what do you mean? Like, it's like, you don't want that label, but at the same time, I'm like, no, give me that label. If that's what that means, child gets everything.
Yeah, for you to be on your P's and Q's, right.
Squeaky wheel gets the oil. We have
I'm gonna call you every day. I'm gonna be like, did you do this yet?
I'm like, no.
Take this.
So here I am in your face. Here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you said that was gonna be okay, it's not,
and what are we gonna do about it? Okay,
like, so next steps,
like,
you have to be, but you also have to have, I think that you're touching on it, and Casey, this is like a part of that, like, next steps of, you have to have the confidence in yourself, and like, us as moms, we know.
Yeah.
But then it's a difference between knowing and then being able to say, no, I know my child.
Yeah.
No, I'm concerned.
And want to know, to be honest, again,
a lot of parents are in denial.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I can't say it as a professional, but even like, again, I'm a speech therapist. So a couple of kids,
you
baby,
say
I can.
It. We'll say it for you.
A lot of parents are in denial.
No, no, no. Y'all stupid. No. I meant I can't say autism. I can't diagnose. That's what I mean.
But y'all can say that a lot of parents are in denial about and that's the thing. An evaluation does not mean that you're going to get a diagnosis.
Right, and that's the thing. That's what I'm talking.
An evaluation might just mean that you'd be like, he needs to do X, Y,
right, right. She needs to do this. That's the thing, right? And that's what I tell parents. It may not be, and so like you do, you said, Sasha, I do like hint to, you know what, you might need to get further. Give me 5 minutes with your child, and I can tell you, let's go ahead and go
me
a little
and
bit
Sasha
deeper.
I have had these conversations because, okay, so Stokely is extremely advanced in his, like, the way that he talks and the way that he does things. And then Brendan is, he doesn't talk to her, as I said. We've had this conversation where she's like, he doesn't talk. I don't understand him because
I don't want to be like, you know, it's a fine line between being a friend
and,
being like, I'm a little concerned
about your child.
And oh yeah, that.
And the thing is, and I'm not a professional. Around like, you I don't. Where you're like, is he? And I'm like, oh, he talks to other people. He don't talk to you. But I am also concerned about X, Y, and Z. So like, I'm like, no, you're not crazy. I get that. Yeah. Here's what we're doing about this. And you're like, oh, good. Okay. So I was concerned too.
Right.
Like, yeah, you know?
Right.
People are scared to even bring it up.
It's scary to bring it up to friends and family. And even, again, as a professional, like, I mean, it sort of went left. I had mentioned that to a friend one time and it went left. And I was like, okay, well, damn. Well, like,
you don't want them to be like, oh, but what you mean?
What you talking about my child? It's like, girl. Okay,
you're just like, but I love your child.
I love your child.
Like, good, bad, or indifferent. Like, I remember, so, like, to give history on, like, why I said my child get on my nerves, and I can say this because he's my child.
Of course.
We went to an audiologist and everything. Because we were like, oh gosh, he keeps saying things too loud. Okay. He has frequent ear infections. Oh no.
Oh yeah.
You know what it was?
What?
I got so mad when I figured it out. He watches PBS Kids and one of the damn people says, it's too loud. And then he puts headphones on and it's all better. I was so
mad. Wow.
I said, I looked at when it happened. You know how you're looking at TV with them and they're like, I said, I looked over at him. I called my husband in and I said,
oh my God.
I said, rewind the TV and just look at this. And he was like, you mean? I said, yes, we went to a whole specialist.
Oh my God. That is imitation, man. They imitate. You had no idea.
I was like, there's a good part, but at the same time, I would.
But like you said, right? You did it. You did your due diligence.
I would rather know that I know all the path because at the end of the day, there is not more harm in going down the path.
Right.
It's fine. Like, and I think that's the thing that we as like women of color and as just mothers, it's like there's no harm in figuring out if there is something.
Right.
I would rather know there's something than to have it be something and pretend it's nothing.
Yeah, and think it's
like
nothing.
I would rather pretend it's nothing. Like I would rather think, hey, it's something gotta be in this, and you tell me it's nothing over and over, and I'm like, y'all sure?
Right.
You sure? Okay, if all y'all say is nothing, then fine, I'll know what to do. But I need to know there's something.
Exactly. No, for sure.
Well, we just want to, because we could just keep talking forever. we really want to thank you for being on the show because I do think what you talk about is
it's
really important. And you know, just putting your family out there like that. I know sometimes we don't like to do that, but I think what you're doing definitely probably helps a lot of other moms out there and can see or might see their child in yours and you know, from what you put, ask themselves questions and you know, you're making it so that stigma doesn't have to be there, which I think, I mean, we talk about mental health in all capacities and we mean that for kids too. And so, you know, keeping it as parents, like I'll just, to finish out, I just say as parents, like you know your kids and you know in your gut whether you know, something might not be 100% with your child. And it's up to us to advocate for our kids and, you know, don't be afraid of what comes from advocating for our kids, because labels don't mean anything.
At the end of the day, you know your child and you know if something doesn't sit right with you. And I like that word. I finally found a phrase. If it doesn't sit right with you, speak about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Ask about it.
So we really just want to thank you so much for being
Thank
you, girls. This is amazing.
As always, if you have a kid with special needs or, like, you know, all of that good stuff, we would love to hear about it. You can, I'm sure there's a conversation going on Instagram right now. Let us know in the comments how you felt when your kid got diagnosed, or, you know, how you're dealing with any of that stuff. You can always email us. We're at hello@swirlandsippodcast.com. Make sure that you rate and review the podcast and subscribe. We are available on all major podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Alexa, Amazon, all of that good stuff you can find the podcast on. If you did not know, you can be a member of our Sip Squad on Patreon, where you will get all sorts of access and behind the scenes things like exclusive content. Sheree and I have a Vino Corner where we talk more about wine. We have behind the scenes like bloopers and shit where we just ramble on for too long. So you can find all of that.
All that. All the craziness that is us, okay? If you like find us.
All of that on our Patreon page. So it's patreon.com/swirlandsippodcast. And like always, make sure that you have your wine glasses ready for next week's episode.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.